times of trouble. If you have your Bibles tonight and would like to turn to the portion of Scripture, we're going to be about in the same place we were this morning, except we're going to start in the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus. The 19th chapter of the book of Exodus. We're going to look at another commandment tonight. As much as I tried today to get away from this, I couldn't get away from it. And you all know me, I argue and I never win. So we're going to not argue tonight. We're just going to do what the Lord would have for us to do. I don't intend to preach a real long time. I say that, and probably the longest sermon I've ever preached. I don't know. I hope that's not the case for you all this evening. But I don't intend to preach a real long time. This should be, for this congregation of people, this should not be a new sermon. It should not be something you've never heard. It should not be something that you don't know. It should just be a refresher course for all of us this evening. We're going to start our reading in the first verse. The first verse of the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus. And it says, "In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, or Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Yea, I have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all of the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." Now, before we go on, we're going to read a little bit more, and then we're going to transition to another chapter and read a little bit more. But now, Moses and God were communing here. They were not yet on Mount Sinai, but God had spoken to Moses, and he gave him an important thing to go back and tell the children of Israel. And what he told them was, he says, you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all of the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That's what he was telling the children of Israel. That's what he wanted Moses to go back and impart to them. And so Moses does this, and I want you to get what the children of Israel said to Moses. And I want you to notice that the topic of our sermon this evening would be how quickly they forget. It's not that uncommon for us to be the exact same way. How quickly they forget. Moses came back and he called for the elders of the people. And he got everybody gathered around, and he laid before their faces all of these words which the Lord had commanded him. And all of the people answered. Now, take notice. It says, all of the people answered. And what did they say? All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. So Moses takes the message back. Moses was not unlike, and I don't believe Moses stood before a congregation much like I do and opens a book and begins to preach. But he went back with the thought that God had given him, and he told them the exact thing I believe that God had given him to tell them. And their response was, "Oh, everything that God has told you, we will do that." Well, guess what? We've not been that far removed from when they were complaining as we talked this morning about not having anything. They were hungry and they began to complain. They were thirsty and they began to complain. And guess what? Now God is telling them, "I will make you a holy nation if you'll do everything that I'm asking you to do." And I want you to understand something. God was not asking Israel to do something that he didn't believe that he could help them with. And I truly believe that. I believe that God intended, fully intended, for Israel to toe the line just exactly the way that he intended for them to do that. But God in his foreknowledge, he still knew that people were people. And you remember what he gave them? Free will. Now, what did they say? "We'll do that, Lord." And so Moses takes that back to the Lord and he says, that's what they'll do. They've agreed. And I want you to notice, it says, and all the people answered and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. Now, remember this morning, I told you that God spoke to Moses, and he said, you've got to sanctify this area when you come to me. There's nobody else that's supposed to be up here in the Mount Sinai except you and me, Moses. And so when you go down, you set that perimeter. And when you come to me, it's going to be you and I. And I believe God came down in that cloud, and I believe He was there dealing with Moses. I believe Moses was talking and communing with God Himself. I truly believe that. And you think about this. What He told Moses was, is if anybody comes up here, they will die. They will not make it. And so it scared the people. They didn't want to cross that perimeter there. And it was around Mount Sinai. Sanctify the area. Make it holy. Why should it have been holy? Well, you think about this. If God is going to come down tonight, if He's going to come down anywhere, wouldn't He come down to somewhere that was holy? A sanctified place. A place that was prepared for Him. Well, I want you to understand something, church. The last few weeks I've been preaching a very strong message, I believe, to the church. And I want you to get something. I believe our church needs help from God. And I believe this also. If we want God to meet with us, we've got to sanctify ourselves. We've got to become holy. I believe that may be part of the reason why we've had to teach what we have on Wednesday night about sanctification. If we want God in our services, in our lives, in our business meetings, in our prayers, in our songs, in our testimonies, if we want God here when we're cleaning the church, we need to sanctify this place and we need to sanctify ourselves. If we want lost people to be saved, we've got to do something. If we want God to come down like He was talking to Moses, and we go on a little bit farther, and Moses speaks to God and He says, show me Thy glory, Lord. Show me Thy glory. And I don't think that's where we're going tonight. Maybe that was a detour from where I was going anyways. But the Lord knows all things. 20th chapter, we were there this morning. I want to get a different verse. Maybe two, maybe three, and maybe four, I don't know. We'll start with the third or the second verse. Just keeps growing. It says, I am the Lord thy God. All right, and this is what Moses was hearing. This is what Moses has to go back and he has to tell the children of Israel. He says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now, I want you to realize something. The children of Israel, they were enslaved to the Egyptians. They were not somebody that had a whole lot of clout with those people. They were slaves. They were held captive. The Lord says, I am the Lord thy God, and I have led thee out of bondage. So, for that reason, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I want you to notice something. I'm big on this. When it talks about gods in the Bible, notice it's a little g. Why? Because there will be no God before God Himself. And He knew that. And He wanted them to know that. He wanted them to know, and I believe He wants us to know tonight, that no matter what God we put before Him, it will never be greater than He is. You can have them all, but they will always fall behind Him. They will never, ever be the God that He's going to be, and He is. Let's go on. Fourth verse. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Do you realize, in Eastern culture, this took on a big weight. It went against everything that they knew. These people had idols made of everything. They were making them out of dirt, out of gold, out of silver. Everything that they had, they were making images out of. Do you realize today, people in religious, supposedly Christian denominations, even other denominations that claim to be of Christ, are making images? They are. Don't believe me. Step out in the world today. Go into some of these other places. What do they use in their prayers? Just step around. Just look around. Guess what? It's not just in religion. We as God's people, we make our own graven images sometimes. We do. I want to pause just briefly. And I want to say this, and I mean this, with every ounce of love that I have for the old rugged cross. But if we are not careful, we will begin to worship the cross more than the one who died on the cross. Now I want you to realize something. People have been dying on crosses for generations, but it's because of what Jesus did that makes the cross even special. That's the reason. You know what? I've heard people that say you don't even need crosses in your church. I don't care about that. I love the cross. I love what it signifies. But I want you to realize he could have died hanging upside down from a tree. And guess what? It would have still meant the same thing. It's not the symbol, but it's what happened. That's what he's talking about. So I want you all to understand something. We never need to worship the things that we use for worship. I can't even worship this. You know why? Because without the Holy Spirit, this thing is worthless. You can say, preacher, it's not worthless. It has so much in there. You can ask anyone today that has not been saved. And if they try to open that book, they will be so confused and they'll have no idea what it really means. You know how I know that? Go up and down Knowles Road a couple swipes. And you just count how many churches or churches that have established themselves on different doctrines. The Bible says to beware of strange doctrines. You know why people today are so confused? It's because they have begun to worship the Word of God instead of worshiping God. They become jaded and confused by the fact that this doesn't change and neither does God. But I want you to understand something tonight. When the Holy Spirit comes on the scene, it can make that become alive. And guess what else? When you see a cross and you've been saved, it doesn't matter about the cross. But what you see is that someone died for your sins. When I look at the cross, I don't see two pieces of wood shoved together. But I see victory. And I see victory because I see Jesus. And I see Jesus because He was hanging there for you and I. And there are different ones that believe different things about the cross. They say it was in an X, they say it was in a T. I don't know. I wasn't there. But what I do know is that He died on the cross, but I still will not make it a graven image. I'll worship Him, but I'll not worship what He died on. Again, I love the cross. It is the symbol of Christianity. I believe because it is what our very basis is built on, is the fact that Jesus died for our sins. And I believe that tonight. But thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, and the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. You know what He did? He covered all the bases. Thou shalt not make any graven images. I was thinking today, and some this week, about that graven image. There are people today in a particular religion, they're not, in my estimation, they're not Christians, neither can they be, but they will carry around certain cards or certain artifacts, and they will pray with them, as if to say if they don't have them, that they can't pray in a way that they need to. Do you realize that's becoming a graven image? Because we're putting that before the fact that we can get in touch with the Lord. Don't you agree tonight that those who have been saved have direct access to Christ? We don't need an image to pray to. I don't have to bow down to some golden symbol or some artifact and pray to it and expect it to do something. You know why? Those things are dead. They're inanimate objects. But the one that I pray to, He's alive. There's a big old difference in that. Something that's dead and is alive. This bench tonight, and I want you to be very careful about something. This seat in our church, it can become an idol if we're not careful. It can become a graven image. I've heard people say that it's not a missionary Baptist church if they don't have one of those. Well, guess what? I've never heard something farther from the truth. This doesn't make us a missionary Baptist church any more than I can slap missionary on the sign outside. What makes us a missionary Baptist church is the doctrines that we teach. There are many places tonight that do not have one of these that still teach sound doctrine. We've got to be careful that we don't make graven images out of things that we have. And we will do it if we are not careful. You can agree or you can disagree, but I have seen it happen in my life and in others around me. They will make an image out of anything. I know they were talking about those shapely little things, and they were making gods out of them, and out of gold, and out of silver, and out of clay. And that's a lot of what he was talking about. In pagan culture, it is not uncommon to have many gods, to have many things that you pray to. In many cultures, it's not uncommon to go into someone's home and see them have a shrine of things that they kneel down to and they pray to. Over in the country in Asia, there are two men that have been gods to that country for many years. And if you understand what I'm talking about tonight, it's one that we're not very happy with at the moment. They're not happy with us. And it's a communist country. They're very closed off from the rest of the world. I'm very careful not to say their name from the pulpit, and especially on recording when it goes on the internet. You never know what's going to happen. But there's a country there, and if you know anything about their culture, when you go into their homes, in every wall that they have two pictures of these leaders. And when you walk in, you have to kind of have some little bow your head to them, as if to say, they deserve our recognition. It's a northern variant of a southern country. They split many years ago. Two countries still at war. If you don't know it by now, I'll tell you after the service. But I want you to realize they are still today. They are bowing themselves to men. And I want you to realize something. If we're not careful, we'll do the exact same thing. A few weeks ago, all over the news was this whole deal about them tearing down statues and things of that nature. I want you to realize something. I have no problem with statues being erected in people's honors and things of that nature. And I'm not going to get political from behind the pulpit. But I want you to realize something. I don't give a flip about those statues. They don't matter to me. But what matters to me is when we start worshiping those things. And if we're not careful, we'll do that too. We'll do that. Our culture today has become so anticlimactic when it comes to things that we don't think about until it starts to be taken away from us. Well, I want you to realize something. How many of us tonight don't think about the church or God as much as we should until we start to have a sliver of it be taken away from us? There are people tonight, they don't care about God or anything to do with Him until they start to lose a little bit of their freedom. I wonder tonight how many people would care if they locked up all of our doors, but yet would fight over a statue. Fight over some guns, but not care a thing in the world about the Lord's cause. How many people tonight would stand in opposition of someone doing that? I wonder. I'm going to move on before I get myself in trouble. Fifth verse, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Don't even give them a passing glance. I want to tell you, this is the basis of my sermon tonight. Again, I'm not going to preach very long. I'm fixing to move on hurriedly. But thou shalt not bow down themselves to them nor serve them. I want you to remember that. And remember the statement that the Israelites said to Moses. This we will do. We're going to follow you, God. We're going to keep your commandments. Just remember that. I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Stop for just a moment. I want you to turn with me. The 32nd chapter of Exodus. I want everybody to put your finger there, and I want you to hold that, because this is where we're going. Stay there. I'm going to read something for you. You can go back to the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus tomorrow or this afternoon or tonight, and you can read it for yourself. But I want you to go to the 32nd chapter, because I want you to know that's exactly where I'm headed. After all of the commandments were given by Moses to the Israelites, he says this, and the Lord said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. Remember that. This is what the Lord told Moses. 32nd chapter of the book of Exodus. The Lord has communed with Moses. We know that they have begun work on the Ark of the Covenant, on the tabernacle. If you read back between those chapters, a lot has taken place for the worship of God and the way that they would go about sacrificing and offering things to the Lord. In fact, right after the commandments were given, there were more laws that were issued on certain different things. If you want a good read, go back and read some of them and see if you would survive in today's society if we still have those laws. I'll tell you this, and then I'm going to move on. It's not going to cost you anything. If we held some of the Old Testament laws in today's world, people would do a whole lot less bad things if you got an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I'll just leave that where it lays. But you go back and read some of that. 32nd chapter of the book of Exodus. It says, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron. Now I want you to think about this. Moses and God are up there on Mount Sinai, and I'm going to be honest with you. If you were Moses, and if I was Moses and I was up there communing with God, I wouldn't want to come down either. But it's time for him to come back. And maybe he was taking a little bit longer than they thought he should be. And they gathered to Aaron, and I want you to realize, Moses and Aaron were supposed to be the leaders of this great thing. Well, here they go. Aaron. Moses has taken an awful long time to come back down from that mount. Maybe something has happened to him. And said unto him, up, make us gods, little g, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, as for that guy, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. We have no idea what's happened to him. He's not even come back down. So you make us gods, Aaron, that's going to go before us and help us. We don't know what's happened to Moses. We don't know where he's at. And Aaron said unto them, now you think about this. Aaron and God are supposed to have a good relationship too. And this is what Aaron was telling him. And I want you to notice something. Never believe that religious leaders are entitled. They are not. They make mistakes. They make errors just like anybody else. I believe Aaron was fixing to make a fatal mistake for the children of Israel. He says, break off the earrings that you have. The golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. Remember that statement. Keep that statement in the back of your mind. Now we've got the statement that the children of Israel have made. We will do everything, God. We'll do everything that you've asked of us to. We're supposed to be keeping that statement in there too. The statement that God made to Moses in the commandments. Thou shalt not bow themselves to any of these images. It says, and all the people break off their golden earrings which were in their ears, and he brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool. We're not that far from the 19th and 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. What did God tell them? Just almost immediately after he said, thou shalt not have no more gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven images. Didn't take them long. My, how they have forgotten. And all the people break off their golden earrings, which are in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. Now I want you to remember something. Moses is up there having a good time with the Lord. And Moses, being this leader of this great country, he knows that he's got a great task before him. Because he knows what they've gotten into before. Now he's not gotten back yet. He's not come back down yet. And I imagine that he's up there talking to God about these people. And he has no idea what's going on back down there where he's left them. It says, and when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They thought they had done something worthwhile. And God said, they have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. That sounds a lot like the statement I made to start this sermon. They have turned away quickly. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and sacrificed thereunto it, and said, these be the gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Let's take a step back just one moment. Where was this molten calf when Pharaoh was chasing them after they left Egypt? Now, I love reading about the children of Israel. I think they had some good times with the Lord. But this was a very big low point for the children of Israel. You just think about this really quickly. They really were able to see something when the Lord parted the Red Sea and they were able to go across on dry land. I believe they saw a miraculous thing. And yet here they are. Moses is gone. We don't know what's happened to him. Let's make this golden image, and it's the one that led us out of Pharaoh's bondage. It led us out of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people. And behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. I'm fixing to get my retribution on these people. Think about that statement that God just made. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them. Who can stand before the indignation of the Lord? Who? Do you think these people are going to be able to do this? Moses goes back and says, Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from the fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. What did Moses just tell God to do? Repent. I have often looked at that and thought, who would Moses be to tell God to repent? And I want you to understand something. God's anger was justified toward these people. But Moses loved those people. And he said, God, I know they're rough people. Trust me, I've been with them. But please, 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 please. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Now some would say that God changed his mind. I don't think God changed his mind. I don't think he changed his mind at all. But I think this. I think God would have destroyed those people if not for the love that Moses had for them. And he reminded him of the promise that he had made. God didn't change his mind. How do I know that? Because he didn't destroy them right here. If he had done that, God would have changed his mind. And every sermon, every statement I've ever made about God being the same yesterday, today, and forever would be alive. But it's still not alive. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want you to understand, God does not change his mind. And he didn't hear. And it says, and Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. Now, to our left, some of you on this side can't see it, but on the end, this doing the remembrance of me table, we have what some people have fashioned into what the Ten Commandments may have looked like. I don't necessarily know that they look quite like that. But they were written on two stone tablets. And the Bible says that it was written by the finger of God. I don't have very pretty handwriting, but I imagine if it was written by the finger of God, that it was a miraculous thing to behold. And Moses held them in his hand. And I almost imagine it like this. As Moses was running back to go back to the children of Israel to show them, look what God has given us. And he gets back. And I kind of made lieu of this earlier. I'm not a parent, so I don't know what this is like. But you get back and your children have done something that you told them not to do. Stay here and act right. Turn your back and they start acting like a bunch of heathens. Well, Moses gets back. And the first thing that he sees is this calf. And who does he go to first? Aaron. Aaron, you were in charge. What happened? What did Aaron do? He said, these people. These people. They came to me. And they said they needed a God. And I don't know what else happened. They got all this gold together. They threw it in the fire. And I've done this calf. Now, remember what Aaron said. You bring your gold to me and I'll grave it into a big image for you. Aaron was lying, wasn't he? He knew that Moses was fixing to be angry with him. Moses was justified in his anger with Aaron. But what did Moses do? Did he allow this golden calf to stick around? Read in the 20th chapter, at the 20th verse, and it says, and he took the calf which they had made and he burnt it in the fire. What fire? I think almost in the exact same fire that they'd made it out of. The same fire that they thought that was this miraculous God. He took it, put it back in there. And guess what? He ground it into powder, strawed it upon the water, and he made the children of Israel drink it. Well deserved for these people. Go back to that 8th verse of this 32nd chapter. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. Let's look in our own time period. I preached to you this morning about keeping the Sabbath day holy and how it wasn't many years ago that people still honored the Sabbath day. It's been a quick turnaround for people to not honor the Lord's day. I am convinced that it's because of a few that are still hanging on, that are still attending, that are still worshiping, that are still trying to serve the Lord, and are still interceding for their lost loved ones, that are still saying, Lord, we love you. Lord, we're still trying our best. And again, I don't believe God has any thoughts on whether we pray, Lord, extend time this much longer, or this time, or this time. But I'll say this. God granted these people a reprieve. But He very well could have destroyed them. You know what God has not done for us? He has not said, I'll give you a free pass. I am of the opinion that today we're living in a day and time, and it's not the worst that this world has ever seen. I don't believe that. I don't believe we're in the worst times. Our people are not eating people in the streets. We're not seeing that. They may be in other parts of the world, but it's not widespread as a whole, as you read about in some past history. But I do believe this. If we as God's children continue to quickly forget the precepts, the laws, the commandments, the doctrines of God, we soon too will find ourselves in the exact same shape that the children of Israel were here in right now. And I thank God day by day by day that as Moses was able to get in the presence of the Lord on Mount Sinai, as Moses goes before and after, that the Lord speaks to Moses again and He says, you just keep on your journey. You keep moving on. Moses goes before the Lord and he again. He asks the Lord, he says, show me thy glory. Let me see your presence. Now, Moses has already been in his presence on Mount Sinai. But again, this was going to be a little bit different. Moses was going to be able to be in his presence. His whole countenance was going to change in reference to the people that were going to look on him in the days and times to follow. I want you to understand something, brothers and sisters. Change is a good thing in some cases. But change can also be very detrimental to the cause of Christ if we're not careful. I'm not one of these people that puts myself in a box, welds it shut, and then expects us to stay exactly like we are today. But I want to make this, and I'm going to close with this statement. We must always remember these commandments. I want to make mention, and I said it this morning, I don't believe any of you all believe this. I don't believe that any of you think that the commandment saves you. The ceremonial law, the moral law, they did not save. But they were reminders that they couldn't do it on their own. Do you realize that every one of us has struggled with these commandments at one point in our lives? Every one of us. I hope none of you have ever killed anyone. I hope there's no adultery. I hope there's no thieves among us. But there are some commandments in there that are hard to follow. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not bear false witness. We've all told a lie. If I ask you to raise your hand tonight and say if you told a lie, I hope every hand would go up, because the Bible says all men are liars. That encompasses us all. So I don't have to ask you to raise your hand because I know you're all liars. You say, preacher, don't call us all liars. The Bible says you are, so I'm inclined to believe it. I am too. I'm in the same category. We're all in that boat. We have all put things before God. You say, preacher, I have never. Preacher, yes, you have. I have never had something that I've made a graven image of. If you have ever had something in your life that has become more than God, or that you have thought more of than you have of God, it can and it has become a graven image. I'm telling you tonight, there are people in our own ranks that will worship the things of religion, the symbols of religion, more than they'll worship the Creator and the Savior themselves. You know the one that we all struggle with the most. Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. We all struggle with that. We're no better than the children of Israel were. Here's the thing. We as God's people should do as Moses tried to do as he went up on Mount Sinai and sanctified that area to get in the presence of God. We should, every time that we come into the presence of God, we should come before Him holy. Do you remember the clothes that Aaron had to have on when he went into the holiest of holies? The tabernacle there? It had to be perfect. The way he had to cleanse himself,
It had to be perfect. Am I saying we have to be perfect tonight? No, I'm not. I am saying this. We should give our very best. We should strive daily to keep these commandments the best that we can. Even at our best, we're still going to falter. We're still going to fail. But I am so thankful tonight
that the Lord is has forgiveness and mercy upon us. As He showed mercy to the children of Israel, I pray that He'll continue to show mercy upon His people today that run afoul the very commandments that God has given. While we stand together and while we sing this evening,